get everything cleared away. I'm so glad to be here because this church has meant so much to me. We spent 7 years here. Sandra and I spent 7 years here working with the church. So I remember and know many of you, our roots go back 50 years. And with some of you more than that. I want to talk this morning about teaching the children. Teaching the children. There is a tremendous emphasis in the Old Testament on teaching children. In the New Testament, because of various reasons, we don't find that much teaching with regard to children. The New Testament is directed more to adults and telling them what they need to do. But we do have some passages in the New Testament about taking care of children. Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:21. Basically, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. But much of the Old Testament is directed to the adults about their children. So what I want to do is begin in the book of Deuteronomy. So we'll be looking in the book of Deuteronomy, and we'll have a few other passages as well. And I want to study from that, from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. So if you want to turn with me, I'll be reading a good bit from that passage. Now, Moses says, "Now this is the commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which Jehovah your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command thee this day. Thou and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase, as Jehovah, the God of your fathers, hath promised thee in a land flowing with milk and honey." So in this little paragraph, we have a strong emphasis on continuity, belief, and reverence. Continuity of belief and reverence. So I want to deal with a thing or two here. As Moses is teaching this, he says, you do the statutes and ordinances God commanded you. He commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. They have not crossed the Jordan yet. So they were going to cross the Jordan. So Moses was telling them, you need to be careful. You need to be careful to do all of these commandments. And then he said, for thy son and thy son's son all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. In the Old Testament, so many times, especially in the law, the idea of obedience is connected with how long you stay in the land. That was the idea of God. How long you stay in the land. So, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, in the next section, we give a little more attention to this one. This begins in verse 4 and goes through verse 9. And this one begins what is called the Shema. And that comes from the first word in verse 4, hear. That's the word for hear. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Don't fail to notice that word diligently. Don't just teach at it. Teach diligently. And when I'm doing this, I want you to take that in. And if you're young enough, you have children, You need to be sure you're teaching them diligently. Don't fail to do that. If you do, you're going to fail to do what God said. Teach your children diligently. So that's a key word. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. You're going to have them on your mind, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates. This passage deals with the idea of teaching. Now, when are you going to teach your children? I mean, we're all busy, aren't we? We have got all things going on, and when are we going to teach our children? We say, I don't have time to teach my children. You may say, I don't have time to teach my children. You better make time. You better make time. And what Moses is saying here, he was teaching people who were ready to cross over the Jordan. And he was talking to them about things that were going to be necessary for them to do when they get into the land. So he says, you shall love the Lord thy God, and so on. In verse 7, teach them diligently unto thy children. Now listen, when you do it, teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou wife. You know why we don't teach our children in the house? Because we're watching something. We're watching something which has nothing to do with spiritual things. You need to be careful about that. When you teach your children, you need to make time for your children. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. We don't walk by the way much anymore, but we do some driving. And I remember back in the days when we took long trips to way across Georgia, 400 miles regularly. So when we would get in the car, I told all kinds of stories. One thing I told was the Bible. So we would have Bible stories, mile after mile, mile after mile. You make time to teach. You say, well, what can I do now? Teach. And when you teach, you need to make it interesting. Tell it like some hero's tale that you would tell, because you know what the Bible is about? It is about heroes. Men who were heroes, also villains. They need to be warned about the villains. And we need to remind our children these were the heroes. So I want to bid you to do that. You really need to do that. Teach them diligently unto your children when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, maybe in the evening, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And you shall bind them for a sign. Now, this becomes taping it on the mirror or something like that. Taping it on the refrigerator. But have you noticed how many times when you put something on the refrigerator, after a while, it becomes dead? You don't emphasize it anymore. It's just part of the scenery. You need to be careful about that. Because what Moses is saying here is, keep these things to remind your children. That's what we need to do. And I want to bid all of you to do that. Take the time to teach your children. Write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Now, I want to go to the next section here, which is 10 through 15. And what I characterize this about is dealing with affluence. Dealing with affluence. You know, I look around here and I see people. I could pretty well say that probably most of us are better off than we were some years ago. I know I'm much better off financially than I was years ago. I was poor and didn't know it when I grew up. I didn't know it. I was rich and didn't know it. But what Moses is doing is teaching the children of Israel, and they haven't crossed the river yet. You see that? They hadn't crossed the river yet. So in verses 10 through 15, "And it shall be, when Jehovah thy God shall bring thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and cisterns hewn out which thou hewedst not out, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and thou shalt eat and be full, then beware lest thou forget Jehovah, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they're going to cross the river. When they cross the river, they're going to go into the land of Canaan, which was a much richer land than they had been in. There wasn't a Walmart in all the wilderness. Not a stockbroker in all the wilderness. But as they cross the river and invade the land, they're going to be going and taking houses that were not theirs, and God would give them the permission to take those houses and take what was in them. And whatever wealth they found, agriculture, all kinds of things, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, cisterns hewn out. A cistern is a rock tank. It was a rock tank that was made to collect water and things like that. And you hewed it out. You took a pick and you dug and chipped until you had that tank dug out. And here they're going to get cisterns which they did not hew out. I have never hewed a cistern, but I can imagine that it would be a difficult thing to do, to hew a cistern. I'm glad I didn't have to do it. And they were going to get those things. They didn't have to hew the cistern out. Vineyards, olive trees, they would be rich. For the first time in their lives, since they crossed the Jordan, they would have the opportunity to be rich. And when they invaded that land, they would conquer these pagan cities. And those pagan cities were filled with idols. Many of those idols would have been somewhere around that length. And some of them would have been made of gold or covered with gold, silver. So you could say, well, I've never had anything. Now I have the opportunity to make myself rich. So you go into this city and you find all the signs of idolatry there. And you find these gods, these little idols, and they're covered with silver, they're covered with gold. I don't want the idol. I'm going to peel the metal. No, Moses said, do not do that. They were not allowed to take the metal off the statues, off the gods. You don't do that. You say, well, I mean, it's metal, isn't it? Can I have it? No. Why? Because it's associated with an idol. But don't you see how that would be a temptation to do it? It would be a temptation. And I want to tell you something else. Do you know who else was going to go into this land? The children. The children were going to go into that land. And they would be a part of the people that went in. There were the adults, and here were the children. Now, do you realize that the children would be better off than they had ever been also? The affluence of their parents would be theirs as well. And we need to understand, like here is a father, for example, and he invaded the land a few years ago with the people that went across. And now as time goes along, he's getting older. He has children. So the time comes when he wants to teach his children. I understand this, especially you who are children. You need to understand this. When your father, who is not young anymore, but he's still your father, and he begins to say, now children, let me tell you about when we crossed the land. Can you imagine a child saying, oh, here we go again? You realize that? Oh, here we go again. I'm going to have to hear that one again. I would dare say that some of you who are not children anymore still remember doing some of that. Here we go again. So I want to point out, you as children don't have the right to do that. Your parents are doing exactly what they need to do. They're doing what God expected them to do and commanded them to do. You need to appreciate your parents for doing what God wanted them to do. And your parents teaching you, if you give heed, will make the difference in your life between the good and the evil. So you need to be very, very careful and listen to them. Listen to what they teach you. So he says, you shall not go after the gods of the people that are round about you. For Jehovah thy God in the midst of thee is a jealous God, lest the anger of Jehovah thy God be kindled against thee, and he destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Now we live in a time of abundance. Now, parents, you need to understand this, and your children need to understand it also. We live in a time of abundance. How long is this abundance going to last? How long is our standard of living going to exist as it is? Do you want to make a prediction? I don't want to make a prediction because I have no idea. I have learned enough about God that God can drastically change things in ways we cannot even imagine. And suddenly, it is totally different to the way it was. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to be faithful and not go after the gods of the people that are round about us. Think about this. Do we have people that are round about us that are worshiping in a way that's not right? Of course we do. They're all over the place. Now, a lot of times we look at the way they are worshiping and we say, you know, I don't know why we don't do it that way. And we begin to wonder, well, Why couldn't I do it that way? What he's talking about here is, you shall not go after the gods of the gods of the peoples that are round about you. We must not do that, because God says, do not do that. And oh, I know it's tempting sometimes. Well, they do it that way, why can't we do it that way? And they're having success. Why? Because they're having lots of numbers. Numbers doesn't tell the story. Numbers don't tell the story. God tells the story. Being honorable to God, remembering God, honoring God, that's the story. And all of you people, young and old, we need to understand that. We don't sell our convictions. We don't sell our convictions. I want to look at the next section now, verses 16 through 19. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently, there we have that word again, diligently. Diligently. That means you work at it. Work at it as a slave. No. Work at it because it is a thing you desire. You see the value of it and you desire it. You want to do it. You serve God because you want to serve God. That's what we need to cultivate. We serve God because we want to serve God. You shall diligently keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of Jehovah, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which Jehovah sware unto thy fathers. Once again, the children of Israel's possession of the land is related to their obedience to God. That's one of the great messages of the Old Testament. But it is also a message of the entire Bible. We honor God when we serve him and do his will. We honor God when we do what he wants us to do. We honor God when we study his word. As eating a meal when we're hungry. That's what we do. Diligently. Do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. When you go in to possess the good land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to thrust out your enemies from before them, as the Lord hath spoken. So we have that, the Israelites had that promise. When they went into the land, if they served God and obeyed him, then he would bless them. They had the promise. We have the promise too. We have the promise that God will bless us as we serve him. So let us be let that be our purpose. Now, beginning in verse 20, what he says here is, don't forget the divine reminders. Don't forget the divine reminders. When your son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which Jehovah our God hath commanded you? Then you shall say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and Jehovah brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And Jehovah showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his house, before our eyes, and before he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us this land which he sware unto our fathers. So once again, we see the promise of the land related to the children of Israel obeying God. And Jehovah has commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always. For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as at this day. And it shall be righteousness unto us if we observe to do all this commandment before Jehovah our God, as he hath commanded us. So we must not forget the divine reminders. The Old Testament is full of divine reminders, points that the Lord made to say, now remember this. I want to deal with a few of those. In Joshua chapter 4, all right, beginning in verse 19. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua set up in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel. Now this is a divine reminder. An example of a divine reminder. He spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For Jehovah your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as Jehovah your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us, until we were passed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye may fear the Lord your God forever. A divine reminder. And there are so many other divine reminders. So, these divine reminders, don't forget. Now, Joshua 24, if you want to turn. All right, Joshua 24, and this is in verse 31. Joshua 24, 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now listen. I really want you to get this. And I don't want you to miss this. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days, see, even after Joshua died, what happened? And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. And what was the characteristic of these men? They had known the work of the Lord that he had wrought for Israel. Now listen, one of the points that you need, all of you adults need to get, is that when we read about what God has done, the wonders that God has done, what are we doing when we remind our children of what God has done? We're telling them how mighty he is, how strong he is. That's what we're doing. So they served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and had known all the work of the Lord that he had wrought for Israel. They knew that. So even the men who survived Joshua, they knew. What did they know? They knew what God had done. And so they taught their children as well. Now look in Judges. Judges 2. And verse 7. And the people served Jehovah all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders. Hey, that sounds almost like Joshua 24:31. Yes, it does. It does. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work. Now, I want to point out, as you study the Bible, note where the mighty works of God. The mighty works of God are emphasized to the nth degree in the Old Testament, over and over in the Psalms, in all of the books of the Bible. The great work that the Lord has done is emphasized. Who had seen all the great work of the Lord that he wrought for Israel. But now in verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their father, under their fathers. Okay, people are dying out. You know what they're forgetting? Some of them are forgetting what God did. My friends, you need to be careful. You don't ever forget what God has done. Our hope of salvation depends on what God did, because he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who knew not the Lord, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel. Why did they not know? Somebody didn't teach. And here we see the danger of not teaching. What will happen if you don't teach? Then there will arise a generation that does not know God nor the mighty works which he has done. I think I have enough time to make a point. I like to take the example of a young Israelite who is old enough to take part in the invasion. And he comes across, makes that trip across the Jordan, all with a host of people gathering and going through there on dry ground. And he remembers that Joshua told the men, one from each tribe, to get a rock and take it to Gilgal and erect it there as a memorial. But he also had them pile a cairn of rocks at the place where the priest's feet stood. And so this young man goes on and participates in all that went on, the taking of Jericho and the taking of the land of Israel, the land of Palestine, and so on. So he knows about all that. All that goes on. A few years go by. Finally, he gets married, begins to have a family. And after a few years, he has a son, maybe around 10 or 12. And he decides, son, I think it's time for us to go. We're going to go down to the Jordan, and we're going to cross the Jordan, and we're going to go over to Gad and see some of our relatives, and I want you to go with me. So the young man is delighted to go with him. So he goes, and as they're going along, there's old Ai, Bethel and Ai, where wonderful things happen. But this father does not mention that. And they go on and they begin to descend down into the Jordan Valley. And as they descend into the Jordan Valley, the father knows, oh, he remembers so well what happened there in the Jordan. All the things that happened. See, he remembered those things. And they come then to that stack of rocks that Joshua had him, had the people to pile up. And his son looks at that stack of rocks. He doesn't know a thing about it. He says, "Father, what is that stack of rocks for?" And the father says, "Son," he thinks about this. It's getting dark. "We need to go ahead and cross the Jordan. So I'll tell you what. All right, son, this is the stack of rocks that Joshua had us pile up to remind us of when we crossed the Jordan. That God divided the waters of the Jordan, and so we crossed on dry ground. Now we better hurry up and get across the Jordan, because otherwise it's going to get dark." You see any problem with that? He didn't make it live. He didn't make it live. And when you teach your children, you need to make it live. He didn't make it live. On that trip, he could have done so many things. When they passed Bethel and Ai, he could have told him stories about that. He could have made that faith of his son live. And we need to be careful when we teach our children that we make it live. Okay? We make it live. Make it come alive as you remember it. That depends on what you remember. How do you remember our worship services? The worship services here. Do you remember what a joyful thing it was to... I know sometimes it was a joy. But sometimes there was joy. People that we've known and appreciate, good things, good experiences. Do you ever remind your children of that as well? You need to do that. Because I think that many of the Israelites fail to do that. They fail to make their faith live for their children. And we need to be very careful that we don't make that mistake. So, there was failure. There was failure. However, listen to this now. As we see in Joshua 24:31, Judges 2:7, and Judges 2:10, there was either the failure to teach, which was the parents' fault, or there was failure to listen, which was the children's fault, or it was both. And I think that most of the time it wound up being both. So that's why it failed. The Lord's word was not followed. We need to be careful when we teach our children the inspired word of God. I know that we teach nursery rhymes and things like that. Modern heroes. I don't know who modern heroes are that I would like to pose before my children. Vicious, horrible people. Unfortunately, the heroes of today are savages. Do you want to present them to your children for them to emulate? Terrible. We must teach about Bible heroes and Bible verses and rhymes that teach Bible lessons. Our time is very limited, and we must make the best of it. I remember some years ago, decades ago, when I was with Lonnie Oldag, and his boys were little boys, and I enjoyed watching them play immensely. And one of the little boys would wear a little rag. He tied the little rag around his head. That meant he was a warrior. But you know what warrior he was? David. So when he would fight the giant, Elani was the giant. So when he would fight the giant, he would say, if he remembered to say, in the name of the Lord God, then Elani would let him beat him. But if he forgot to say, in the name of the Lord God, Elani would wrap him up and do away with him. Not literally. But it didn't take that boy long to learn that I better say in the name of the Lord. And I can see the results of what Lonnie did. He made David a hero, a good hero. And we need to do that too. So remember that our time is very limited in our Bible classes. And especially not Bible classes, at your homes. That's when you do the bulk of the work. That's when you do the bulk of the teaching. So that's what I want to remind you of. Get started. I hope you're already started. But that's what you need to do. Okay, we'll stop.